Hey there.
I'm Jamie, the New Yorker.
And I'm Talia, the Brit.
And you're listening to the Get Down Lowdown.
Dating can be hard.
We get it.
The ins,
outs,
the ups,
the downs,
and the going downs.
Well, we're here to try to help demystify this conundrum.
To dig deep into the whos, the hows, and the whys of everything from ghosting to foreplay.
To sextiquette, to FOMD, and more.
We're not saying we have all the answers.
But as two women in the Big Apple who love getting down as much as the next gal,
it's only fitting that we give you the lowdown on what we've learned. Hello, hello, hello.
Hi, guys.
It's Talia.
And Jamie.
Woohoo! Episode 5.
We made it.
We launched. Oh my gosh. Yes.
Are you guys excited? Has everybody been listening? Okay, we're not actually expecting you to respond to us.
Well, you can email us and tell us how excited you are that we launched officially.
You all submitted some really amazing Ask Us Anything questions, and we want to keep them coming. They were so fun to read.
Yes. So for those of you that weren't at the launch, we had a launch on Monday night at Pouring Ribbons in the East Village.
Thanks, Pouring Ribbons.
Oh, you were fantastic. Phenomenal venue. And we had little jars for everyone to put in their Ask Us Anything questions. And we've got great footage now for all questions to keep us going for the next 20 episodes, really.
Some really fascinating things that you guys are curious about.
Yeah, and some repeat questions too.
Yeah, we're not going to tell too much because we're going to use those in future episodes.
But micropenis. We're pretty excited.
I know, people are apparently really fascinated with penises.
Why not? We also did a giveaway, so you gave us your souls, I mean your email addresses and your names, and we gave away some awesome stuff.
We did. Add the gdld@gmail.com to your accepted senders list if you want to get emails from us, because we had a little bit of an issue trying to send some stuff out, but we want to be able to communicate with you guys.
Yes. We got prizes donated from some lovely, lovely, generous people. The Pleasure Chest in the West Village, a fantastic sex shop.
And we had the most fun. Check out our Instagram and you can see all of our fun pictures from our journey there.
Yeah, we went to pick up the prizes and like 45 minutes later, we were practically dragging ourselves out the store. It was like
it was
kids
so
in a candy
fun.
Shop.
Oh my God.
It was stuff that I didn't even, like toys that I didn't even know existed. One shaped like... well, there was one that simulated oral sex.
Oh my
right?
God, that looked amazing.
And then one
Lilo,
that was like,
again, if you want to give us some free goodies, we will happily take one of those auras.
Is that what it's called?
Aura.
Aura.
Yeah.
Good name.
And it's like a little circle thing, and it just looks like a little moving thing. And yeah. I can't even explain it, but like the sensation, I put it up against my arm, and it definitely felt like how I would imagine.
Yeah. It's like a tongue going round and round in a circular motion is what it felt like to me. And then there was that one that was like flappy with kind of the lips that looked like a duck's bill, but soft. That felt really good against my arm.
Guys, you should see what Taya's doing. The flappy duck lips.
And what else did we... So we had that from Pleasure Chest. And then we had the wonderful Dame... We talked about this in the last episode. Dame Products, who are a fantastic, forward, female-friendly sex toy company, have donated one of their Eva toys, the ones we talked about that's on our logo for the last episode that looks like a little alien.
One of my friend's bosses got that present. That made me laugh so hard.
Brilliant.
I can't wait to give it to him.
Are you going to give it to the friend to give to the boss?
I kind of want to. I don't know if you will.
Awkward.
Yeah,
and then we got... Yoni's Pickles. So, you know, of course, what would a sex podcast launch be without pickles to give away? Like, whatever, something phallic shaped and delicious. And then there was another prize, wasn't there?
We had two sex toy goodies.
Oh, yes.
Oh, and then tickets to the Great Love Debate.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Brian Howie.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, we've both been panelists on that show, on that fabulous show, talking about dating in New York.
And it's coming to an end, so if you're interested in going and learning about dating and all of its dimensions, go and pop by Great Love Debate.
Yeah, it's moved to City Winery. That's the new venue.
Oh, yeah.
But the launch was, we'll just fill you in a bit. It was fun.
It was so fun. I had such a blast.
We also had a cake, a fucking delicious cake.
Thank you, Cupcake Market. You guys are amazing.
Yeah, GDLD branded.
Sarah Silverman.
Sarah Silverman, exactly. She's killing it with her cupcake shop. It is the best chocolate cake in Manhattan. I think. I won't, people hate the word, but I think it's just so moist. Moist and delicious.
Is it luscious?
It's luscious, delightful. Jamie's been making fun of my English accent all weekend.
Taya just speaks very passionately, I think is the word that we decided to use.
Yeah, I use a lot of adjectives.
She wants to craft a really beautiful story with her words. And her mouth.
Every day, every moment. And what was also funny was the people that turned up to the launch, because we invited a bunch of people, but we didn't know who was going to actually show. And we invited a lot of past dates, a lot of whom came solo.
Yep.
That was fun.
Very bizarre. An interesting mix of people for sure.
Yeah. Somebody came up to me at one point and said, it feels like you're grading, you're dating graveyard. Talia's dating graveyard is at this launch. But I'm friends with a lot of people I used to date, it wasn't weird. Me too,
totally.
I mean, there were two people I'd been on a first date with the week before.
Which I'd love that they showed up. I feel like that actually says a lot about them, that they were kind of adventurous enough to show up to
Yeah. Well, they might have thought it was a second date, but I don't think so.
That would be such a letdown if they showed up and were expecting that.
I don't think so, because I've actually since fixed one of them up with one of the other girls that was there and exchanged numbers and have been doing matchmaking, the shit eyes at work.
Love it.
You're trying to fix me up with your old date.
Somebody came up to me and they were like, you have a very attractive group of friends. I'm like, duh. But one guy who I went on a date with, and he was absolutely awesome, with just timing didn't work out, and you thought he was cute, so.
I thought he was very cute. And Jamie's special friend.
Oh, my special friend came. He was such a little champ.
He was a champ.
He was. He did a really good job. He shook hands with men that I've slept with, whether knowingly or unknowingly. Sorry, bud. but it was really fun. It felt like a birthday party.
It really did.
And it was my early birthday party.
Jamie got an extra cake.
Taya got me a little wonderful cupcake, a banana Nutella cupcake, which is my lady jam.
Yeah, so the story was...
Would I text you that would make my panties wet?
Yes,
you got that for me?
It was that... No, I was hinting. It was a sneaky little question. When we were talking about what cake flavor the launch cake was, I said, what would be your dream flavor? Just so I was sneaking
in. I did not pick up on that.
Yeah, and I sly. And you were like, well, banana and Nutella would make my panties wet. So I'm like, well, I got to get my girl's panties wet. So straight to the cupcake market, banana Nutella. Oh, they're God. Yep, straight up.
So after the slice of cake at the party and the pizza after the party, that was a perfect dessert.
Good. And then I actually got a little bit of action with Jamie later that evening. I FaceTimed her and special friend from bed, because we were just so stoked about the launch. We just wanted to
recap,
wasted and still awake, and it was a Monday night and no one else was awake at 2. So I got to have a little inside look into the bed of Jamie and special friends.
Oh my God. Plus dog.
Plus Bernie the dog.
Oy vey. The dog. The poor dog.
And I think I showed you my new vibrator on that FaceTime call.
Sounds about right.
Which,
and you told us we were eating pine nuts. That's all I remember.
I was eating pine nuts and drinking LaCroix, and I'm drinking the same LaCroix right now.
There's no pine nuts to be seen, but you have a lot of beverages.
I love having three beverages at once.
Do you really?
I like to say, lubricated. Three.
I'm all out of water. So
do you need to get some? So we're coming to you from
Ocean City, Maryland.
Can you believe it? I didn't even know where this place was before this weekend. We planned it with our amazing girlfriend, Trish.
You've heard us mention her before. She's the tall, gorgeous redhead.
Who is sitting with us right now.
You might hear some giggles in the background. And that's a special edition from one lovely Trish, who just also went to get me water because she's a fucking doll.
Champ. We're in her stunning beach house on the boardwalk, having most stellar time, which is just what we need after hectic launch week and work week and everything. And we're just enjoying all the tack and bright lights of the boardwalk.
It's amazing. Going on lots of runs, getting way too burnt / tan.
Jamie keeps getting hit on by strangers, which is very, very fun. What was the line that the guy used on the boardwalk last night?
Where's the party at?
Oh, yeah. He just walked straight on over and was like, hey, where's the party at?
And then we walked about 10 paces away and I said, in my pants.
Luckily, he didn't hear that.
Thank God. Some man tried running with me today. That was not twice the same dude. Every time I passed him, he tried running with me. I was like, bro, get away.
Exactly.
Oh, and then that hot guy in the wine store.
The wine store guy was very cute. And our waiter tonight wasn't terrible, although we all guessed he was around 30.
Oh, my God.
Turns out he was 22.
Yeah.
Wishful thinking.
Derek Mark Kenny.
Matty. And then the pool boy that puts down the,
the pool boy, the chair boy, the beach chair boy.
Yeah, so there's some good eye candy here,
but then there's some bad eye candy.
There's a lot of like majority bad eye candy.
Yeah.
And then there's just a lot of candy.
I've had ice cream every single night, although that's not that different than normal.
Yeah, Jamie likes the sweet stuff. Pretty par for the course. We can also tell you to subscribe, rate, and review.
Guys, we need you to subscribe and rate and review, as Talia said, because that is the only way that they will continue to let us be on the air. That's not true. They'll let us be on the air as long as we want. But you should definitely do it anyway because we're asking you to nicely. Thanks.
Thank you very, very much.
Also, gdld@gmail.com. Send us questions.
Yee! Okay, so we have some great topics for you guys tonight. Gonna start with a dating topic, one that's a little bit topical right now for me because I'm now back on the apps, and it is ghosting. Dun dun dun. Gotta be covered. Gotta be covered. It's like, you know, everyone has different opinions on this.
Yeah, what are your theories? Like one date, two date, three date, red date, blue date.
Now,
what's your protocol?
Do you mean on what I do to them, or what how I feel when it happens to me? Or I mean, there's probably like
Your protocol, like how
my
do you,
protocol.
Yeah.
So the only time I find it acceptable to ghost is before I've met them. So I feel like it's fine on the apps to just suddenly stop messaging someone, which I think everybody does.
Oh, yeah,
that's fair. That's the only time I ghost.
Even that I kind of felt shitty about, but yeah. I did it, but I was always like, oh, yeah, I feel bad. They're just like annoying now.
They're annoying, but there's like so many of them. You can't write a reject. There's not even anything to justify the rejection message.
Like I just decided I didn't like you.
Yeah, if anything, I just de-match with them. Like I just kind of get rid of them.
And that happens all the time.
All the time. Yeah. And it's just like clearing out, like, you know, you can't keep them all in. But once I've met them, well, actually, yeah, so even if we move to text and they're weird, I would be comfortable ghosting them as well.
Oh, yeah.
It's once I've met them.
Do you have a fake burner, like a burner number?
A fake number to give a guy?
Yeah.
No, I would just not give them my number.
I had friends who used to do that. They would have like a fake number they would give to guys until they were sure if they wanted to give them their real number.
But like, you mean on the apps? That wouldn't work though, because they text you straight away. Or you mean in real life?
Right, no, but like they would have like an app that has a fake number on it that's not like their regular number. Like I have my day-to-day number, but then they would sign up for like an additional number.
You can sign up for an additional, yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah. This is next level.
Yeah.
No, but that would.
And then it's a way to make sure that you don't actually have to give your phone number out to somebody until you're sure you want to give your phone number out.
So you give out the fake number, then message them from the fake
number.
It's not
like a fake number, but yeah, there's like another an app number that presents as though it's
a different
phone number.
I did not know about this.
Like text free, that's one of them.
If you've ever done that, let us know. I'm super interested. This is smart. But once I've met them, even if it's just one date, and this is what happened like last week, if I know I don't want to see them again and they ask me out again, I will not reply. I think that's really shitty. Yeah. I always send an honest-ish message.
Yeah.
I try not to insult, but you can't go too wrong with saying, had a great time, or even you could skip that bit out if you didn't, but just saying I didn't feel the romantic spark.
Yeah.
Like that
is
totally
fair.
My number one thing.
Yeah.
But a lot of people would just much prefer to ghost because I get it. Because it's less offensive to be, you're basically, if you're ghosted, you're not rejected.
Yeah.
You're keeping the option open and you're not officially rejected. You're just, I mean, it is the same thing, but you're not being told no.
I don't like you. Yeah.
Yeah. So what was your view?
I went through it for a while. I definitely just disappeared. And then I think once it happened to me enough times that I was like, oh, this feels really shitty. I don't want to be that person. Then I started making sure that I would send something.
Something?
Yeah, I think exactly like you said, after one date, if we didn't have a good time. But this is something fascinating. I have a guy friend. I actually have a lot of guy friends who've told me they do this.
Yeah.
That unsolicited, if they don't have a good time after a first date, they'll text a girl and be like, I didn't like you. I'm like, that is the most insulting thing I've ever heard.
But they wouldn't phrase it like that, would they?
Well, they would just be like, you know, it was really great meeting you, but like, I don't feel.
Oh, before they get asked out again.
Exactly. I'm like, that's so obnoxious. They're like, well, women expect for men to kind of move things along. I think that's so offensive. That like if I liked a guy enough and I didn't hear from him, I would reach out to him and then he can say thanks but no thanks.
So you need to make sure that they're like into you, otherwise
yeah,
it's a little
like,
bit presumptuous. Because then what are you going to do but write back and be like, yeah, well you either, asshole.
Exactly. I'm like, there's no way that you're going to end up looking like anything other than an asshole if you do that.
And didn't you say that you sometimes sent the I've started seeing someone new again message? I feel like those are the two things that people do, like that either I wasn't into you or I'm not ready to get into anything, but then, like, why are you dating?
Or
they're like, I've started seeing someone. Or
someone's and everybody knows that it's bullshit, and we're all kind of acknowledging it. But it's still, like, the humane way to let somebody down. And I, regardless, I think it's nicer than ghosting. I think ghosting is just shitty.
So this guy that I went on a date with, who may or may not be listening, I did give him our matchbox. I went on a date with the old...
Hey.
Yeah. I won't give his name, okay. But he was an older man, and it was actually my first league date. So we talked about this a few episodes ago. You were like, it's full of pretentious people, blah, blah, blah. But I was, but like, it's really hard to get onto, and I think they've made it easier to get onto now because...
Or tie is just super hot.
Nah, they've lowered the barrier to entry. So
well,
more
now
people
there's
can
like
get
so
on.
Many freaking dating sites.
Exactly. So this was the first guy. I was like, I'll give it a go. New app. He was how old am I? I'm 32. He was 41. And he.
Which clearly, I don't think is that much older.
No, but I just haven't. This is the oldest I've ever gone on a date.
Got it.
It's okay. Not, but for me,
I feel
it
like
is.
10 up, 10 down is like pretty standard these days.
You know, I've gone with the younger guys quite a lot, so much the older guys. So I was like intrigued. He clearly had like some sick job and seemed like very charming and very charismatic and kind of like was going to treat me very well. So I was intrigued, and he picked this fabulous place in the West Village for dinner, which was called
Le Petit Boucheron.
Le Petit Boucheron or Boucherie or Boucheron. I think you got it. Super good first date place if you're listening. And we met at the bar on a Sunday night, the night before the launch party. And yeah, he didn't look like his pictures. He looked like an older, less attractive version of his pictures.
Yeah, so it was very curated.
It was curated, and he was nice, but it was a little bit, you know, the age thing came across as a little bit patronized. Like, he called me princess a few times, which I told you, and you weren't
into. Do you think that's an age thing or like a wealthy thing?
I don't know. The word sugar daddy was used at one point in the day. So he was nice. Like, we stayed, and we ended up having dinner. I just didn't want to kiss him. Like, that's my sexual chemistry test.
Sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't want to put your tongue in somebody else's mouth.
Exactly. So, anyway, he kept calling and messaging afterwards, and I didn't have time to reply because of the launch and everything, so I could have just ghosted, but on the drive to wherever we are, Ocean City, a few nights ago, I was with my girls in the car, and I was consulting them, these ladies, and I was like, what should I do? And they were like, send the no message. Because you don't want them to also like think that you're like missing the calls. It's just not really fair.
And he also called you like multiple times.
He called multiple times. He was old school. He called, which I don't have a problem with. Yeah. If you like someone, I'm happy for them to call you. So I just wrote back and was like, had a great time. Thanks
for
the lovely
evening. But
even
that's so interesting to me that he kept on calling. I'm like, if I don't pick up a call...
Yeah,
like, it's been like a day or like 24 hours and I haven't called you back. Like, you're not dead.
True. I thought it was kind of cool though, because I felt like he like didn't give two fucks. It's like how I don't care about double or triple messaging. I have like no shame. I'll just do it.
Yeah.
So if you like someone, I don't know. I thought that was quite bold.
I feel like you're the only person that works for it, because I used to double and triple message all the time. People would be like, why are you fucking crazy? I'm like, I don't know. I'm just crazy.
Maybe it's just the English charm,
maybe.
You know? So the message just basically said didn't for the romantic spark or whatever. And he wrote back and was like, thank you so much for the note and have a really good weekend in Ocean City. So I think he was really grateful that I sent that message and didn't just ghost him. So yeah. I felt good about that.
Good. High five.
Thanks, honey. Woo! Good for the sound effects. What about a time when you've been ghosted out of the blue, or like, how do you feel when that's happened to you?
Oh, it feels terrible. Like, if there's a guy who I like and I message him and I'm like, hey, what's going on? Why haven't I heard from you or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
It feels terrible. I don't like it at all. But I had a guy who, we would like, do you know the term submarining?
No, tell me.
They would like, there's like so many, I feel like we should Google like all the different terminology, because there's like submarining and there's benching and there's breadcrumbing and all these new crazy things that I've never heard of.
Tell me about
it. So I think submarining is when you literally like go below the surface and then come back up.
Oh, that happens a lot.
Yeah.
That's
so
funny.
We probably like dated / hooked up for like 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah, on and off. And he would just like, we'd go out a couple times, have an incredible time, so much fun, and then he would just like disappear, and then he'd like pop up a couple of months later and be like,
with what excuse?
None. He had no excuse. And he was just like, so I was so attracted to him, I just
didn't give a fuck. You were like, he's back.
Oh my god. But he was like such a dick to me, and I actually wrote a blog about him and sent it to him, and he's like, you're 100% right. But we basically was like, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. This guy's an asshole. And every time we got back together, he'd be like, yeah, like maybe I'm looking for something more serious now, blah blah blah. And each time he did the exact same behavior. We'd like go on dates, have great sex, super fun, and then he would just disappear at me again.
Submarining.
Yeah, and then it was really satisfying, actually. He texted me recently and was like, hey girl, what's going on? I was like, I'm seeing somebody, bye. It was so nice, because before
that's
I couldn't
awesome.
Like get out of his spell. I was like totally entranced. And now that I have a special friend, I don't need him anymore. Thanks, special friend.
Aww. what's breadcrumbing? Do you know?
I think it's when like you leave enough trails. So like you'll text like once a week.
What sucks is when you send a message instead of ghosting and reject someone and then they are shitty.
Yeah.
I've had that where I've like said, listen, I like you. I've been on 4 dates with you, but I just X, Y, Z. And then they're like bitter and shitty about
it.
Oh,
yeah. That feels terrible.
There was this one guy I dated. So after this guy that I had this like really hot and heavy chemistry with, it was like very 50 shades for a long time. This beautiful South African guy. You know, you kind of break up with someone and then you do a bit of an antidote. You, like, go for, like, the opposite. Mm. So then I went for this, like, sweet boy next door, Jewish boy, who, like, wasn't very sexy, but I was like, maybe this is what I need right now. And then after 4 or 5 dates, like, we kissed and we went on some great dates. We went to La Perla before it turned into Fairfax in the West Village.
What's La Perla?
And
then
it was a beautiful restaurant. So, actually, funny story.
It's a lingerie line, right?
The night I was meeting him at La Perla, I put La Perla into Uber and ended up outside La Perla underwear. It was a different La Perla.
Oh God,
so I was
so
in Soho
funny.
And I had to get to the West Village.
That's like that time we went to that restaurant and you made a reservation in Ohio.
In Ohio, yeah, for Dante. Dante, yes. Everyone that's trying to go to Dante for the good Negronis in the West Village, don't book Dante, Ohio, because
so
that
funny.
Was really bad. We went to the Mermaid Inn instead. But yeah, this guy, like, he was very sweet. It was actually an interesting story. The guy had a glass eye, which was not very noticeable. It was so strange. Like, basically, eyes mean so much to me. Like, if I like somebody's eyes, I'm attracted to them. Like, for me, eyes are so much of chemistry. All my boyfriends have had blue eyes, actually. I'm, like, clearly really into blue eyes. And I was trying to figure out if I fancied this guy after 3 dates. And I was like, you know what? I don't know what his eyes look like because he wears really thick glasses. And he always sat on my side so that he'd like be there before me at the bar or sitting on a bench. And what I didn't realize is the eye furthest away from me was like his glass eye that like
so was intentionally positioning himself.
Yes,
from you.
Exactly. And then it came out on like day 3 or something that he'd had like a non-cancerous tumor when he was younger and had to have the eye removed.
Okay. Did it look real?
Yes, it looked real, but when you notice it, then you realize it didn't move very much.
I got it.
Or didn't move or something. So, I know that's like, it sounds discriminatory, but it wasn't that he had a glass eye. It was just that I can never really see his eyes through his glasses and like very much. Like, I didn't have an eye connection. And for me, that's like so important.
You have your things.
I have my things.
We're allowed to have our things.
Yeah. Do you have a preference eye color? Or?
I don't think there's really anything in common. If you like did a lineup of every man I've ever dated, I don't think they have really anything in common with one another.
Anything in common?
Yeah, I don't.
You just have the hots for them.
Yeah, there's like just a thing.
I realized I didn't finish the story about the guy with the glass eye. We got off track. But basically, when I told him I didn't want to carry on, he was like just an asshole. He was like an asshole on message.
It was because he has a glass eye.
Do you think it was?
Like imply that it was because you were biased towards his eyes?
No, he didn't. implied that I'd wasted his time and was like, aww. I said something like, I'd love to still stay in touch and be friends.
And
he was just like a dick.
Yeah.
And I was like, you don't know if you like someone until 4 or 5 dates. It's not like I was leading him on intentionally.
Not at all. Did you sleep with him?
I did not.
Yeah.
We didn't get
He's just
biblical.
Being a baby.
Yeah. I felt, I mean, you can't.
I know. You always feel bad. Of course you feel bad and you never want to hurt anybody's feelings. But I've definitely had similar situations where like guys get bitter. I'm like, you know what? You don't connect with everybody. That's why it's called dating, and you date multiple people until there's a reason to not date multiple people, and that's it.
Agree with you.
Yeah.
So back to your type. So they don't have anything in common. So different hair colors,
sizes. I think that they're
all
pretty boys. I think that like all of them are like quintessentially attractive men.
You like guys taller than you. You don't go for short guys.
I don't go for short guys.
You are like how tall are you?
5'7".
So I'm tall. 5'7", so you're pretty tall.
Yeah, and I like to wear heels.
Did you go for sporty guys?
Yes, I don't think I could date, but that's less a body type and more like a predilection and a lifestyle choice. I don't think I could date anybody who was like slovenly because I'm so active.
Yeah, you are. Bloody hell. You should see this chick running up and down the boardwalk. She like lapped me like 5 million times.
I run so I can eat ice cream.
Yeah, it's true. Well, gotta have some reason to do it.
No, it really makes me happy. It's just like very calming.
It is. It's meditational. It's your meditation, I think.
Yeah.
I do yoga. You run for endless hours.
And I've been listening to a fun new podcast while I've been running. It's called Too Old to Date. I have a friend, this guy Tom, who has a friend who he works with, who I guess he told him about my blog, and he found me on Medium on my blog, and he wrote and was like, oh, I think your stuff is really interesting. I'd like to have you as a guest star on my podcast. So I looked this guy up and like but I resend legit, and apparently he had like 20,000 followers. So I was like, oh, this sounds great. Let's do this. So I emailed him back, and we arranged a time for me to be on his podcast. And when it comes out, I'll obviously tell you all about it. And I forwarded it to Talia, and I was like, how crazy is this? This guy wants me to be on his podcast. And Talia said...
And I said, what, Brad Garoon? I think we can say his name, right? Because we've just said the name of the podcast. Yeah. So they'll look him up. I was like, Brad Garoon. And I was just so confused because I knew that name because I just matched with this guy on Hinge 2 weeks before. He had canceled on me on a date, but it seemed very genuine. It was like the night of the date and he had a work thing and we were going to meet afterwards. And then it was suddenly he was like, oh my God, my boss wants to have dinner with me after this work thing. I'm so sorry. Let's reschedule. But then I was going to London, or where was I going? Yeah, probably London or something like that. So uncanny. So we had to reschedule this date. And then Jamie sends me this email from Brad Garoon saying this could be good, great for our podcast. And she's going over to his house.
So cut to Sunday afternoon after Talia and I... What was this? Oh, I slept with special friends the night before, so I had all of our pleasure chest presents. And I basically was going over to this guy's house on the Upper East Side in the middle of like a super fucking hot day, and I didn't know who he was, and I was like, is he going to murder me? I mean, there's like a strong possibility he was going to murder me.
Yeah, but we could Google the shit out of this guy.
I know, but I didn't. And I showed up to him, and I prefaced him, and I was like, hey, so are you going to kill me? And he was like, no, didn't you like look me up? And I was like, well, you're like a friend of a friend, so I kind of assumed that you were somewhat legitimate. But I also recognize how ridiculously dangerous that potentially could have been for me to show up at some dude's house with a bag full of sex toys, no less. But he was a perfect gentleman, and we had a really fun time, and I think his podcast is awesome, and I've been listening to it. I've been running, so shout out. You guys should listen to Too Old to Date.
I need to listen to it. And then Jamie was also able to do some sleuthing for me.
Oh, yeah.
She thinks he's pretty eligible, so we'll see. We haven't... He was meant to come to the launch, but didn't come. So we'll see if we go on that date. But the podcast world, very small.
Very small.
Small and intimate, just how we like it. Big and intimate, do small
we?
And intimate.
I don't know if we like small intimate.
Yeah, just intimate. Just take intimate. Are we ready for topic number two?
Let's do it. Let's hit it.
This is a big hit one, guys. P-O-R-N. Oh, my God. Porn. Where do we even start? We could talk about this for like 5 episodes.
Yeah. Do you listen? Do you watch? Sorry. I guess you don't really listen to porn. I mean, I guess you could listen to
our podcast.
Yeah.
My
mother goes somewhere out there is masturbating to your podcast.
You bet they are.
Sorry, Mom.
Well, actually...
I told her not to listen, and she listened. She's like, what's it called? My dad was like, the hoedown lowdown. I'm like, no, it's not the hoedown lowdown. And like no less than 5 times, we had lunch the other day, and no fewer than 5 times did they ask what the name of the podcast was. I was like, I don't want you to know what it's called, so I don't want to keep on repeating it, because then it's going to more likely stick in your mind. So I had dinner with my mom the other day, and my dad and special friend, and she's like, I found your podcast when I listened. I'm like, oh my God.
She didn't hate it.
She's just like, how do you have so much to talk about sex?
I mean, this is nothing.
I know. I was like,
seasons just, and seasons.
That's just the tip, Mama.
You know it. Sorry, I can't even hear the word tip without keeping a straight face.
No, tip. Tip, tip, tip.
I know. Tip. I'm just being filthy.
Oh, I thought you said tit.
You said the tip, like the tip of the iceberg, no?
Oh, yeah. I thought you said tit.
No, tip. Just penis tip. All right, whatever. Spelling it out. So I obviously write a sex blog, which is anonymous, so I can't tell you folks about it yet. But I find it the biggest compliment when people tell me that they got aroused reading one of my sex stories, which is kind of creepy because they're all about me. So it's like my sex stories, and it might be like someone I don't know very well who's married. But I just think it's a sign of good writing if they're like, oh my God, that got me flustered, or I'm going to... Oh, actually, I can tell a little story about this. So I just released a post about a guy I had sex with at a wedding last year. And... my friend whose wedding it was read the post, and it was like getting around the wedding guests, and she's like, I think you should tell the guy who you wrote it about, because it's gonna get to him and it should come from you. He was painted in a very positive light because it was beautiful. It was at a wedding and I had to pick between two men, and I picked
this. We should all be so lucky.
I know, I was very, very lucky. It went from like 0 to 2 in like a heartbeat, and I was like, oh fuck, do I go for the tall Jewish one or the short handsome mountaineer? So I went for the wild card, the short handsome mountaineer, and it was one of the best sexual experiences I've ever had. It was beautiful and magical.
Wait, ever? Or like one of your best one night stands?
I mean, probably when I say sexual experiences, yeah. Like the whole thing made it magical. Yeah, like there's two, I've had, you know, two one night stands, I guess, him and then the other guy I was telling you about, which was a different story recently.
You only
had two
one night stands in your life?
No, those are the two magical ones.
Oh my God, I was like, what?
Babe, come on. Let's get real. So yeah, it was amazing. Anyway, I sent him the story and I was nervous because I was like, what if he's like, take it down? This is, because anyone that went to the wedding would know it was him.
Yeah.
Anyway, he loved
what
it.
What guy would not want to hear about his sexual prowess being shared with the entire fucking internet?
I think one of the lines in the post was, I wish if only all sex was like this. And he would.
Yeah. So I think he was probably pretty happy with what he read.
He said he wants to frame it and put it above his bed.
Just tell him to put on his dating profile.
He should, although he's like a mountaineer in the mountains of Chamonix. I don't think he's even on the profiles. He's such a like animal in a good way. Oof. And he basically has been reading it. I know. He's been reading it as a bedtime story to like get himself off the story of our sex.
You're a verbal fluffer.
Anytime.
Oh my God.
Verbal porn.
So
anyway,
cute.
We totally got off topic. We're talking
about porn. So it is.
So that's
on topic.
That's you're writing literary porn. So I want to write an erotic novel. But porn. So you asked me if I watch it. Yes, I do watch it. I've watched it since I was very young. I think porn is very young. I don't know how young. Just a teenager.
It was just how you said it. Yeah. I've been watching it since I was very young.
I was in the womb. No, I think porn, I love porn. What I hate about it is the choice of porn that is out there. So
I'm going to disagree on this.
We may be going to disagree on this, but I think porn is incredibly sexist, incredibly chauvinistic, and not an accurate depiction
totally
of what women want
is.
In sex. And the problem is all the youth of today are getting educated about sex through porn, and it's fucking annoying. And you go to bed with guys that have only watched porn, and they just spit on their hand and like bang you without any foreplay. And it's like the porn industry is ruining sex for women.
Well, and now like virtual reality sex.
Ooh.
We're basically making it so the boys don't actually have to talk to women, because like 10 years from now, we're not that far away from that.
You're right.
They're going to be like, why do I have to go and talk to this woman when I can like fake fuck Blake Lively on virtual reality?
Yeah.
Why would you ever go and talk to a real girl ever again?
I mean, yeah.
Right?
I agree. But then can we do the same? Are we going to be able to?
I hope not.
But then we'd need some kind of...
I don't think so, because I think...
Porn is fantasy.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong. We can have a fantasy life that...
I think that's what it is. I think like a lot of people project into their porn desires like fantasies.
Yeah.
It's not even necessarily something that you're interested in doing. It's just like...
Exactly. My problem is, yes, a lot of people's fantasy is to be, have your hair pulled, and that's hot, and like rape fantasy is one of the biggest fantasies out there and all that stuff. But the problem is like 98% of porn is like that. Like I think it should be more diverse in terms of like style, and also things like foreplay.
Yeah.
Like it's just
so samey.
Have you heard
of Cindy Gallup, Make Love Not Porn?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, she's like a former ad woman.
Yeah,
she
I went to
actually...
one of her talks, I think.
Did you?
She's amazing. You told me that I had to go to one of her talks.
Yes, yeah. I've been to a lot of her stuff.
Tell us.
She's really amazing. She basically was like a former ad woman who decided that she wanted to do something bigger with her life and started lots of different initiatives. She speaks at the 3% conference every year, is one of the keynote speakers.
Yeah.
And she also has this website called Make Love Not Porn that's basically like,
right.
I think everybody, it's amateur, people like
people
submitting.
People upload it.
Yeah.
I've been to the website and looked at
it. Do you like it?
Yes, I like it.
You have to pay for it.
Yeah, so you get
it's
to see free small ones, but then if you want it, you'd have to pay, and that's a problem. I've got a problem paying when there's so much free stuff.
Yeah.
But that is the good stuff, and likewise.
It's like supporting the arts.
It's supporting the arts, and likewise, I have one female porn producer or director called Erica Lust, and her stuff is beautiful. Like, don't get me wrong, some of the fantasies are like out there and quite kinky, but like
I love
it's for women
stuff.
It's for women, it has great foreplay, it's beautiful. Like I love her stuff. So she has some free stuff, but you can also pay and subscribe to her website, Erica Lust.
I'll have to check it out.
There's a documentary about the porn she makes, but she's fab. But otherwise, like, what sites do you typically go to? Do you ever go to
Pornhub,
YouPorn,
Red Tube.
I like Beeg.com. That's a good one. Beeg.com. My ex-boyfriend.
What does that stand for? Beeg?
No idea, but it's...
Is that like big,
like
but
it.
Like Beeg?
Yeah, like it's so big. But I, you know, obviously I search for a lot of stuff on porn that I'm into.
Yeah.
I read in an article that like, it's so interesting that porn actually dictates what is like on trend. So our imaginations only go so far. So if we see something in porn, then we suddenly think like, oh, we should start doing that in bed. So the porn industry is quite powerful.
Oh, so that's why analingus is so on trend right now.
Analingus going down on butt, yes,
yeah.
And choking. So, like, because choking, like, hands around the neck is became that such is a thing so on porn. Like, I was on a date with this guy, and he was like, the last four women I've slept with have wanted me to choke them. And I
think, like, want to see. It's like experimenting.
Well, it's like they condition themselves because they're jerking off to it. Or masturbating to it, however you want to call it. And then they... So it's... The porn industry has a lot of power.
Wow. I never thought about that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And so true.
But doesn't it worry that the kids of today are like...
Oh, totally.
Seeing that kind of shit.
They're seeing completely fabricated versions of sex. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. And it's like... It's not communicative. The noises are fake. The orgasms are fake.
Yeah. You don't have an orgasm by like touching somebody.
Oh, my
Although
God.
You did just tell me about a friend of yours who had a boob orgasm, which is cray.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a thing.
But it wasn't a fast orgasm. It was a very slow boob orgasm. But like, yeah, it's just the whole thing is fucked. It's fucked. But I still like watch it. So I'm like perpetuating it.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, we were talking about this with organic eggs.
Tell me how this compares to our organic eggs. I would love to hear.
Because it's the things that you choose to like actively change in your life or not change in your life, right? Like we went food shopping and Trish got brown organic eggs and I was like, I can't eat those because I keep kosher and they frequently have blood spots in them. So I went back and I got the white jumbo eggs and we're unpacking the stuff and Ty goes, these aren't cage-free eggs. And she has this like look of horror on her face.
They don't have to be organic, but they have to be cage free because I saw the documentary of the chickens that are in the cages and they peck each other to death.
Oh no.
I know, but it's okay because I eat meat and the meat is probably in a cage. It doesn't say cage free steak.
But the reason that I think this is tied to the porn industry is because we have the things we pick and choose.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Like I will watch bondage porn and gangbangs.
Yeah, me too. Sometimes you just gotta watch a good gangbang.
Whatever gets you in the mood.
Yeah. Guys, by the way, I just found out from Trish, our lovely friend, that big is slang for blowjobs.
There we go.
So now I know what big.com is.
Thank you, Trish. Yeah, thanks, we Trish. Knew we had you here for a reason. The thing that does make me feel a bit uncomfortable when I'm watching porn is the ones that are like, watch teenage girl fucked by daddy like or whatever. Like when they're like trying to pretend a girl's young.
Yeah.
It's verging on pedophilia. And like I get the power dynamic thing and I get that they're not.
Look really young, like that grosses me out. I'm like, why? How old is this person actually?
Because it's taboo. All we want is taboo. And the thing is.
I do like something called pure taboo.
This is the thing. Like there is an argument that if people have these fetishes, it's better that they watch them in porn than go out and find a young person in real life.
We were just speaking about the VR thing. They were saying like, what if a pedophile could actually negate his needs for going out and like, you know, sleeping with children with a virtual reality experience? Is that good? Is that bad?
It's good unless then they get, you know, addicted and then go out and look for the real thing for the next high. I mean, where do you draw the line, right?
Yeah.
What's your thought on watching porn in a with a guy?
I'll do it if he's into that. I mean,
I feel like a lot of people love that.
Yeah.
You've not done that a lot.
Me neither, really. Not that much. Well, I mean, I feel like you sometimes need it to like get turned on, but I'm usually pretty turned on if I'm about to have sex.
Yeah, maybe like after like long been in a relationship for a long time, it might be like a fun thing to spice things up or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it does turn me on. I always wonder because I like watching porn turns me on so much, like that I wonder like what it would be like if I watched people in real life having sex, whether it would be
We have to go to a sex party. That's it. We have to do it.
Would your special friend allow you to go to a sex party?
I think he'd come with us.
No pun intended. You don't want your special friend to see me naked, though.
I don't care.
Wonderful. Well, we could talk about porn for hours, but I think that's like a good initial shallow dive.
Oh, wait. One more question.
Sure.
Reading porn.
Like the reading...
Anne Rice did a whole... Love it. Do you know who Anne Rice is?
No.
Interview with a Vampire. She's the author of that.
You've sound sexy.
Interview with a Vampire? That's not porn. That's one of her most famous movie books that got turned into a movie.
I mean, like 50
Shades.
But
she also has... No, she's like a classic novelist. But she also has a trio of books that are based on Sleeping Beauty, but they're all literatica. So she writes it under a pseudonym. I don't know why, because she's like a super famous person. Everybody knows that it was her books.
Well, it's fun.
But it was like Garden, like something of Eden or whatever. Basically, it was like loosely based on Sleeping Beauty. Like instead of getting awoken with a kiss, she gets awoken by getting fucked. So it's like a trio of books about it. Yeah, they're pretty sexy. I read them a long time ago, probably when I was like 15 years old. A girlfriend of mine was like, you have to read these books.
And good?
Yeah, they're sexy. I mean, I don't think that it's as much. I like I'm a very visual person, so like I love reading, but it didn't necessarily turn me on the same way. Like 50 Shades of Grey, like it got me like kind of hot, but it was
okay.
You know,
so I'm a sexy words girl. Okay. I like orgasm multiple times during that book. I mean, oh. I had to help myself out, but words, like if a guy dirty texts me, I much prefer that than like a little dirty video. Yeah, I think my imagination loves it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I do like texting sex more than I like.
Like FaceTime. Like a
FaceTime
sex.
FaceTime is like so weird.
But maybe that's because it's awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know it's true. Like actual porn.
Like I like watching porn over reading it, I guess. But I do love a good sexting conversation. Yeah. Gets me going.
All right. Well, that was a pleasure.
Likewise.
We have two segments left.
Ask us anything.
Ask us anything. So Trish has sifted through the many ask us anythings we got from the launch, and we don't know what she's going to hit us with. But let me pass her over. I'll read it. She's handing it over to me. She wants us to answer. Do you want to read it?
If you could improve one sexual skill, what would it be? Tiles, why don't you go first? I feel like you have an answer brewing.
It's such a big blanket answer, but I'm gonna say I want to be better at intercourse, which is quite a big one, but I think I'm pretty down pat on all my hand and mouth skills. Like I'm pretty proud,
but it's like foot and mouth disease.
But
my hand and mouth skill,
my hand and mouth skills,
oh my god,
are strong. You know, you've got to have some development areas.
Yeah.
But I think that, like, I think I could be better at actual sex moves. I know what I know, but I feel like I run out of a repertoire. Where this stems from is the fact that I don't get off as much during intercourse. So it's not like, obviously, to be good at sex, you would just, like, do what feels good. And if you're having pleasure, they're having pleasure. But because I'm not always, like, at an orgasmic state during intercourse, I sometimes think a bit more, like, what would be nice for them? And it's less intuitive. Whereas, I guess... you can say the same thing about though, a hand job and a blowjob. I'm not getting off from that. So there's something about like it would be like I would like to be better at the actual screwing part. Like I think I'm fine. I just want to be like
better,
mind blowing.
Yeah.
So there we go. That was my very honest answer.
Good for you, ma'am.
Feedback welcome from anyone or hints. But I think I like want to improve more in that area.
As you were talking, I was debating how honest I want to go, but you were pretty honest. So I guess I will do the same. I wish I was more open to the idea of anal sex. I've had it before and it was like so painful and so unpleasant that now I'm just like completely turned off to the idea of ever doing it again.
And it intrigues me,
but I'm like, ugh, like the thought of it makes, it's like, yeah, not appealing to me. And I wish I was more open to it.
So you wish you were open/better at anal stuff, like for yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. It's very cool that that's an area that you like you want to move into though, or like you'd like you know, it's not like you've ruled it out. You're open to it.
Yeah.
close to it at the moment, but just need to relax and breathe. I feel like we should have a whole other episode on anal because I've got a lot of stories to tell there.
And it's Anal August at the Pleasure Chest. I don't actually know what that entails, but it's Anal August.
Sounds great.
Yeah. And then I think I don't know what their next month is.
September?
Fall into lust or something.
Oh, is that what the next one is?
I don't know if that's
fall into my big... I'm going to cut that out.
Simmer down. Ty's getting all hot and bothered right
here. There we go. That was a great Ask Us Anything.
Thanks to whoever asked us that.
Yeah. Really, really good question. All right. We have not prepared a New York date of the week. So let us think of one.
Think we should do an Ocean City, Maryland themed one, and you should just go for ice cream to
Dumpsters. Just come to Ocean City, Maryland. The weekend away of the week. It's fucking kitsch and cute and adorable. There's like arcades, which I find is like such a fun thing to do on a weekend away, like going to play games and pinball, karaoke.
There's a gigantic Jesus sculpture made out of sand.
Yeah, you can debate your religious preferences.
Yeah, there's a guy preaching lust and how terrible it is on the boardwalk.
Yeah, always something to make you feel good about yourselves. There's cheap hotels. What else? There's like fucking
it's just
giant
beautiful.
Margaritas. It's beautiful. It's easy. It's fun. It's like contained. So it's like you won't be overwhelmed with like all the stuff you have to do. It's just like you can basically like have sex, go get ice cream, go to the beach.
Guys, two New Yorkers, well, a native New Yorker and an imported New Yorker are telling you that there's life outside of New York and there's dates to be had outside of New York City.
Although at dinner we did order 3 bourbons tonight and we got told there was
whiskey
or bourbon in the whole
restaurant.
We're
like, we are so fucking thirsty and you don't have any whiskey.
So that's the only only reason not to come, but yeah. You know,
bring your own whiskey.
Yeah.
BYOW.
Cheers to that. Guys, we've loved recording episode 5. We want to start adding in some shout outs to our amazing supporting crew for helping us with these episodes.
Yeah. Jessica Rothman, thank you for our incredible logo design. You guys should take a look at all of our growing collection of logos because they're awesome and like uniquely done for each episode.
Thank you. And then we have Adam Charity, who is our amazing sound guy who makes us sound human.
Like we're in a soundproof room, even though we're not in a soundproof room.
Yeah, even though we're not. And
he wrote our theme music.
And our theme music, our intro and our outro, and just for like filtering us out so we sound classy, not trashy. We love you.
I don't know
you.
If he can do that.
As best he can. And thank you all for listening and subscribing and sharing and rating and reviewing. And until next time, don't miss us too much.
Bye. Bye.